The Carlow Soccer Podcast with Harry Shortos. Brought to you by KCLR and Scoreline.ie.
Hello everyone and welcome to the Carlow Soccer Podcast. My name is Harry and I am your host. A lot of people will know me, but in case you're sat there wondering who this weird English guy is that you're listening to, let me introduce myself. My name is Harry Shortos and I'm a freelance sport journalist in the Carlow Every App. And I cover absolutely everything sport-wise, from soccer to rugby to cricket to darts. I've done a bit of the car, motor racing, I've even done a bit of basketball before. I'm a jack of all trades as such. I've done a lot of work for KCLR from matches, and I've been on with the legend Brendan Hennessy at games as well. I've been covering soccer though for the Nationalist since 2018, and that's what we're here to talk about, Carlow soccer. Over the coming weeks, we will try and discuss all areas of Carlow soccer, from the junior game to the League of Ireland, and all the representatives we have in Carlow playing League of Ireland soccer, and even CK United and their plans for first team League of Ireland football in both the men's and women's divisions. My very first guest is a man who needs no introduction. He is the Carlow Soccer League Secretary, Mr. Brian O'Reilly. Welcome to the show, Brian.
Thanks very much for having me on, Harry. Much appreciated.
Brian, you are a man I've had many conversations with at games, going back all the way to when you were a referee. You've been in the Carlow League for a very long time.
Yes, have indeed. I was in the ISRS referees branch for 20 years before I gave that up and took on the role of league secretary.
Brian, let's get started and dive straight into things, and let's discuss the title race in the Nationalist Premier Division. Things have been hotting up lately between New Oak and Cret Yard, and you just had the sense for a few weeks now it was all kind of building to that big showdown between the two in Cret Yard on Sunday.
Yeah, Cret Yard have been on a great run, and obviously the league table was a little bit difficult to work out with the games in hand and things like that, but Cret Yard's run did come to an end on Sunday, and I think we're in for a really exciting finish. The fact that Cret Yard have only one game left, but New Oak have three very difficult games left, there's a real possibility we could end up with a playoff.
Yeah, New Oak did win it, of course. I know you weren't there, but from my perspective at least, it just seems like Cret Yard kind of effectively threw away the chance to kind of win it. They just didn't seem to have anything in attack, just struggled. I know they've kind of been grinding out results all season, the kind of 1-0s, 2-1s, but they just kind of, maybe that kind of showed that maybe against the better quality side, they just didn't have enough to kind of be able to get across the line.
Yeah, and it was such a big game for them because obviously a win for Cret Yard would have pretty much guaranteed the title. Now, unfortunately, they don't have destiny in their own hands, and they have been grinding out results. As you say, they've been getting late winners. They just beat Hanover 3-2. They just beat Killary 1-0. They just beat Collession 1-0. They just beat Vale 1-0. So they were grinding out results and keeping themselves at the top of the table. And I'm sure they'll be very disappointed after Sunday's game.
Yeah, imagine. This was the closest, really, they were going to get to a title for the first time since 2019. You know, this is the closest since 2019 that the title race has been, realistically.
Yeah, it has been. And I suppose with the fact that New Oak have to go to Bagnestown this weekend, who are a top side themselves with some top players, and then they have to play Collession, who are in a fight at the bottom of the table, and then they have to go to Parkville. And we've seen Parkville beat them in the Shield already. So it's certainly not over. It's going to be an interesting 3 weeks ahead of us.
Yeah, and they've got Pats at home as well. Obviously, Pats drew with them in Pats actually last weekend as well. So there's a possibility.
Yeah, so New Oak have four tough games. Yeah, all is not definitely lost for sure for Cret Yard.
Yeah, they just have to hope for the best. And there is a real possibility there of New Oak losing points, but you never know. Brian, you've obviously been in the league for a long time. Is this the best Carlow League side that we've ever seen, this New Oak side?
I suppose the simplest answer would have to be going on their successes. Like, to win a quadruple is nothing short of remarkable, and then to win two of them is absolutely nothing short of remarkable. So the simplest answer to that question, Harry, would have to be simply going by the records and the amount of trophies they've won. I don't think there's any argument that they definitely are.
Yeah. And how do they compare to the great four in a row sides like Cret Yard in the early 2010s and Walkinstown? I don't know now whether you'd have been around for Walkinstown, but like, how do they compare to those kind of sides, to the great sides of the Carlow League?
Yeah, they were great sides in their own right, and I suppose football has changed certainly too. And the style of play has certainly changed, and New Oak now play a lovely brand of football, and they're so competitive. And I suppose it's hard to compare sides from that many years ago, but certainly I would say New Oak are just a slight par above them.
Okay. Do you think they can become the first side to ever win 5 league titles in a row in the Carlow League?
Yeah, I think so. I think you would have to fancy them now after going to Credit Yard and grinding out that result. You would probably have to fancy them to get the job done.
Yeah. And even like next season, I think this season would be 4 in a row, which would be the record. The record is currently 4. Then next season as well, possibly to go on and be the first of 5, which would be an incredible achievement.
Yeah, it would be remarkable. And their hunger seems to be there after winning 2 quadruples. Everyone thought maybe, but no, they're back again this season. And I'm sure if they won it this season, then they would absolutely be ready to come back and try and get a record 5th for sure.
Yeah, they'll definitely want that. And they just have the ability to just grind out results and just come back when they've seemed dead and buried. Like the Shield final against Parkville, they came back twice to level it up and take it to penalties. Against Pats last week, they were losing 1-0 and they came back to get a leveler just at the end. They just don't know when to stop.
No, and it's something that all good teams have had over the years, is that mentality to never be beaten. As you said, like I think most people would have thought last Saturday night against Pats, it was game over. And yet, the same in the Shield final was remarkable. Not once in the Shield final, but twice to do it a second time in extra time. It's just the mentality to never be beaten. And that's what keeps them at the top of the table.
Yeah. And of course, they're doing well in Leinster as well at the moment. They're in the quarterfinal against Park Villa in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, fantastic. A fantastic run again in the outside competition. And they've been really blessed with home draws, which is a massive help to anybody. And we all know if you're going to go well in these competitions, you need a bit of luck in the draws. So Park Villa at home in the quarter final. And with a bit of luck, they'll get through that and progress to a semi-final. And it'd be great to see them go all the way to the final.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's talk briefly about the Carlow Cup. One side is really opening up a lot with a lot of the big kind of sides in the one side of the draw. You've got New York there, you've got Cret Yard, Hanover, Parkville. So you have the likes of Pats and Vale, who realistically with one of those has a huge chance of getting to a Carlow Cup final.
Yeah. With the draw the way it turned out, it's quite remarkable to think that we've now got quarterfinals. We've got our quarterfinals with Dolman Celtic A versus the winner of New York and Hanover. And as you said, you've got Cretty A and Parkville A playing each other, and they're all on the same side of the draw. And on the other side of the draw, you've got Dolman B versus Pats and Parkville B versus Vale. So you'd have to imagine, whilst Dolman B and Parkville B are two great sides and doing very well in the White's Pharmacy division, the two Premier Division sides, Pats and Vale would both fancy themselves to get through those, have a semi-final against each other, and it's a fantastic opportunity for the two of them to get to a Carlow Cup final. Certainly the other end of the draw is much tougher.
Yeah. No, Pats will definitely fancy their chances. If they can get to a final, they'll fancy their chances of maybe producing an upset against the likes of Cretty or Newark. Depends if they can get guys back from injuries. I know they've been struggling a lot with their injuries, but they'll fancy themselves, especially with the amount of games that Newark have to play still, that they might just be a bit tired and could be caught off guard possibly.
Yeah, and on their day, Pats are capable of beating anybody. So certainly if Pats got to a cup final, they would fancy themselves on the day to cause that bit of an upset, I suppose, to a certain degree. And the same to be said for Vale A. In fairness, yeah, we've seen them on their day. They've beaten New Oak in the Shield, and they're on their day. They're capable of beating anybody too. So I suppose that's the beauty of the cup. So the two of those would fancy their chances if they can get to a final.
Yeah, of course. And let's move on to the Division 1 title race, which culminated a couple of weeks ago with Burren Celtic winning. You have to give credit where credit is due, Brian, because of the season that Burren have had. But not just Burren, but Phoenix as well. Crazy to think that they came up from Division 2 this season and that they're the top two.
Yeah, and I suppose a lot of people on the outside would look at that and think, whoa, this is remarkable. But I suppose those of us that were in soccer for a while now weren't really surprised. Burren and St. Fiacs have been the two clubs on the up and up the last couple of years. Their youth teams went toe-to-toe this year for the title, finishing winners and runners-up. Their two youth teams had gone toe-to-toe last year, and that would have been an under-17 team essentially for them. And they took Hanover and Killeshan toe-to-toe. So you could kind of see coming through the two clubs that the standard of player has been remarkable in the last couple of seasons and what they've been doing at youth level. And then last year at the White's Pharmacy Division, everybody at the start of the season said to me, like, who's your favourites to get promoted? And you would have said, okay, look, Dolmen will be there or thereabouts. But everybody kind of fancied Burn and Vioxx because of the fact they were playing such good brand of football. They had such young sides, talented sides. And in the end, it was no surprise. Whilst on the outside, you might think two teams getting promoted, being the two to fight for a league title, it was a bit of a shock. But it wasn't for those of us who had seen them play. The two clubs are very much on the up. St. Vioxx, they're now developing their facilities. The same with Burn Celtic, who had developed theirs. It's no real surprise, as I said, with the standard of player that's coming through the youth teams for the past couple of years and the job that the two sets of management teams are doing there is remarkable with the players they have. And I'm sure Burn Celtic will be well able to compete in the Premier next year. And I'm sure if Vioxx come up the year after, they'll be well able to compete because the future for those two clubs is extremely bright.
Yeah, I was actually going to ask you about that, actually, and kind of just ask, how do you think Burn will cope in the Premier? Do you think they'll be able to hold their own? Like, we've seen Bagnallstown come in this season from Division 1 and really hold their own. But that's kind of been a rare example. A lot of the promoted sides tend to struggle. So how do you think Burn will do?
Yeah, I think they will. Obviously, maybe they'll need to try and find a few additions, a few more experienced heads. But they've got such a young side. There's no fear there, I suppose, to a certain degree from those players who have done so well. Back-to-back promotions, like, is going to encourage them to win, to finally win the title this year was good for them. And then they've got that really good youth team that have just finished runners-up and all those players coming through. So, yeah, I'm sure they'll be well able to have the advantage of having the Astro pitch and having their home games there. We seen them play New York in the Shield, and New York didn't score till very late on in the game to win in Ballon that night. So I'm sure they're looking forward to a very good season.
Yeah. Let's move on quickly to the White's Pharmacy division. It seems like Vale B are kind of running away with that.
Yeah, and what a division that was. It's our biggest league by a mile with 11 teams in it. And at one point, the top nine were separated by 3 points. It was looking like a remarkable division. But Vale B just went on a bit of a run and pulled away. And we've got a really close second to eight. But yeah, Vale B, very strong this year. Vale B have been very strong for a couple of years, but this year they've stuck with it. And it looks like they're going to be champions. They only need a couple of more points to do it, which is great for them again as a club. And again, they have a good youth team there and they've started to feed youth players through. So we're seeing a common occurrence here. It's the clubs with the good, strong youth teams are now doing well at adult level.
Yeah. And that's maybe where some of the other clubs might kind of fall away. Just that lack of necessarily that good youth team coming through.
Yeah, and you need to be constantly freshening up the team, bringing in new faces. Like, if you look at the White's Pharmacy there, you've got Castle Rangers doing really well this year in second place, and they've done really well to re-establish the club there. Like, they're one of the longest founding members of the clubs going, but they have the same issue kind of thing. It's bringing in fresh faces every year. Dolmen B are doing fantastic there. I don't think anyone expected them to be third in the table. And then we have Boughton Glass and Parkville B all up there at the table. Parkville B were relegated. They've had a good stable season. So it's good to see Wolf Hill were back in their first ever season, and they done well at the start, but again they fell away a little bit. And you find that the clubs that don't have the youth teams there, they need to have a strong core adult base there to keep going.
Yeah. And the women's competition's just finished as well. We had St. Pat's win the league and Ballymurphy won the Carlow Cup.
Yeah, and wasn't it great to see finally have 11-a-side soccer back in Carlow Ladies at the final, and great to see the Cup go so well. And the league obviously itself, the 9-a-side league, was a massive success. We're really delighted now in the league, all of us, to see that the women's soccer is going so strong, it's grown so strong. In the end, the five clubs, we had six teams, Ballymurphy had two obviously, we had six teams, but the five clubs ended up with over 25 players each registered for a 9-a-side competition. We progressed to the 11-a-side Cup. So now hopefully next year we're looking forward to going back to an 11-a-side league, and hopefully we'll attract back in some of our other clubs like Vale and Mill, who had moved to Kilkenny for the 11-a-side, and we'll grow the ladies league even more, because that's something that we want to do. We're also looking at setting up a ladies youths league under 17, under 18 or under 19 for the first time, because we know the juvenile girls coming through are all very strong. So it was great to see. It was nice for St. Pat's to get their first ever win in the ladies, and Ballymurphy of course have a massive tradition in that Carlow Cup. That's their fourth ladies Carlow Cup in 10 years, so it was great to see Ballymurphy keep up their tradition.
Yeah. How do we grow the women's division in Carlow now? We have the three Carlow League clubs, obviously, in Kilkenny, and that left for Kilkenny, Lugs, Vale, Mill, Celtic and Newpark, even, who were playing there. Hanover kind of folded this season, who had been doing quite well last season. Like, how do we keep expanding the women's game now and get girls playing? How do we push that now?
Well, the hope would be that by establishing a youth league, as we've already said there with the men's, like that's how you do it. You need to have that progression at juvenile level now in Carlow. There's a 12s, a 14s, a 16s. So now we need to have that stepping stone. At the moment, the stepping stone was you were going straight from 16s to adults, which was a big jump for some people. So that's kind of something that we need to look at, and hopefully by doing that it'll feed in. And I certainly like to think then that if we go back to 11-a-side, that the likes of Mill and Vale will come back to us. Yeah. Obviously New Park and Dean Celtic and a few of these teams were only playing with us because there was no official league in Kilkenny. But if we could get some of them back and get a nice league of 8 of our own next year and continue to grow it, I think that's where the future is.
Yeah. And it was finally, it was a tough season for the Oscar Traynor team, kind of just losing to Wexford in the Pat Whitty Cup final, losing to Watford.
We were delighted. Having an Oscar Traynor team, Harry, is such a big commitment for everybody. It's a huge cost on the league. It's a big commitment on the players. It's a big commitment on the guys who come in to manage the team. It's a really tough competition. It's so competitive, especially when you're coming up against really big leagues. Like obviously Wexford have a pick down there from North End and all these other clubs, but we were very proud of the lads. They've done really well to get as far as they did. As I said, in the first season we've learned a lot too going forward for next year, and hopefully we can make big improvements next year and have another go at it. But it was great to see the trophy, the competition finally back. It was great to see us advance to get to the Leinster final. It was a fantastic achievement, especially winning away in Dublin in the semi-final. Nobody expected us to win that game, and that was a fantastic result, and it was credit to all the lads involved. It really was. So we're very happy about how the Oscar Traynor went for the first season back, and as I said, there's certainly a few things we've learned that we will tweak for next year.
How do you improve going forward next year? There are some really, really good players in the Carlow League, some really special players. How do we get the best out of those together?
Yeah, I suppose maybe we could start a little bit earlier. We could start a little bit earlier and get the management team to go out and get the players in a bit earlier and get training sessions going a bit earlier. And then try and get 100% commitment from all the players. Because as you say, we definitely do have a lot of talent out there. And it's just a matter of getting those in and making sure that they come in and train and that we get a good squad together.
Yeah. And I suppose it'll help next year that you kind of have the management team already in place from this season, that you don't have to kind of spend those early weeks trying to find a new manager.
Yeah. And as I said, we've got the core thing in place now, and we know what we're doing. So that's going to be a huge benefit to help us at the start of this year.
Yeah. And just a lot of people, one issue with the Oscar Traynor that a lot of people that I kind of hear people talking about on the sidelines and stuff is kind of the jerseys, because they are kind of quite old and they've kind of been around for a little bit of time. And like I hear people saying, oh, we used to play in those 20 years ago when I played. Oh, they need new jerseys, bloody, bloody, blah. What's your kind of thoughts there?
Yeah, that's all been looked after. Again, as I said, this year's competition came upon us very quickly. We didn't really have time to put a structure in place. There's a new sponsorship in place now, which will be announced soon, and obviously there'll be new jerseys for the Oscar Traynor team, and that's all been looked after.
Perfect. Thanks very much for your time, Brian. We really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on, Harry. Really appreciate it.
Thanks very much, Brian. That's Brian O'Reilly there, the first ever guest here on the Carlow Soccer Podcast. Our second guest is no stranger to long-term Carlow soccer fans or even Carlow sports fans in general. He's a Bagnallstown man and plays his soccer locally with Bagnallstown AFC. He played a big role in their promotion from Division 1 last season, has been instrumental in getting them fourth place in the Premier Division this season, scoring 8 goals. He was a late call-up to the Oscar Traynor squad this season, as well as recently, last weekend actually, represented the Leinster amateur squad in their interprovincial tournament. He's known for losing his cool a little bit, but he's always surefire bet to get booked in a match. That man is, of course, Robbie Kane. Well, Robbie, welcome to the podcast, mate.
Thanks for having me, Harry.
So, Robbie, let's start with the Leinster amateur squad. Your mum was actually the one who told me first that you were picked. Actually, she messaged me on Facebook to tell me. I was very confused why she was messaging me until I opened the message. How did the Leinster stuff come about, first off?
It was after the Oscar Traynor game against the Leinster Senior League, I think.
Okay.
Up in Crumlin. Papa Dolan just came over after the game and said that the manager asked, would me, Dean Kelly and Danny Doyle go for trials with them up in the AOL. So that was how it came about.
Okay. Was that for the Leinster, or was that? I thought that was for the Ireland team. Now I could have been very wrong, but
no, that was for the regional team, the Leinster team.
Okay,
yeah.
Fair enough. Okay, it must have been quite a surprise to get the call. I know when we talked at the Waterford game, you'd been to trials the previous day, and you kind of told me, "Oh, I'm not going to get in. No chance, I'm getting in." You must have been quite surprised to get the call, were you?
Yeah, it was very surprised. There's an awful lot of lads there, and the Dublin leagues have been known for being stronger, you know, better standards. So I thought them lads would have got the nod ahead of us, but luckily I got in anyway. Happy enough to get into it.
How did it feel to get the call? You must have been fairly delighted with yourself, were you?
It was great, yeah. It wouldn't very often you get many players from the Carroll League getting onto that team, so I was happy enough.
Yeah. You must have been fairly proud of yourself, were you?
Yeah, it was, yeah. It was a great experience the whole weekend up there, just with not knowing anyone and then getting talking to other lads and just training even with them and playing with them. It's a kind of a different level, you know. It's a bit of a step up from playing in Carlo, like, it's a bit quicker.
Do you think?
Which I didn't mind, you know, you want to be playing them. You want to be playing at that standard anyway.
Do you think that can help your game now when you come back into Carlo?
Oh, of course, yeah. Of course, yeah, playing with them players, sure, it's only going to make you better, isn't it?
Yeah, of course. How much time did you get to play, actually? I was following on the FEI Connect app and it showed you were on the bench for the whole time. It never actually showed you getting any game time, and it was your mum, actually, that told me that you'd actually got on Friday.
Yeah, I played. So I played I got on against Connacht. I think I got 20 minutes, in around 20 minutes in the Connacht game. That was it. I think I was ready to go Saturday. Manager had me ready to go Saturday, and just the way the game was going then I had to sit back down. but I was happy. Look, I was happy enough even being there, but to get a few minutes was nice too. Obviously I would like to play a bit more, but just getting the call anyway and getting the experience, I was happy enough, you know.
Yeah. Let's talk about the Oscar Traynor. You were obviously a late call up from the Wexford game. So you guys obviously got to the Pat Whitty Cup final. You got to the quarterfinals then, obviously, at the Oscar Traynor. In reality, there was only two games won, a weak Kilkenny side and then the LSL game. Where did it kind of all go wrong, do you think? Just as somebody who was in the squad, in and around the squad, where do you guys think it kind of went wrong?
I think the Pat Whitty Cup final was the Wexford game, wasn't it? We had a good win against Leinster Senior League up there. I thought that was a good win. 2-0, I think it was. We played well that day. We didn't play well at all in the Pat Whitty Cup final. Now, Wexford were very good, in fairness to them. They're always strong. They probably were the better side, but we didn't really perform either. It was terrible conditions down that way, wasn't it?
Yeah,
that the pitch, I think the pitch was even waterlogged. I don't know if they should have went ahead, but yeah, look, we didn't perform that day. In fairness to Wexford, they're the better side and deserve to win. The Waterford game, I think, was the quarter final then we got beaten in.
Yeah.
We didn't start the game well at all. I think we went 2-0 down. We only kind of started playing then. We scored, I think, who scored that day? Oh, Roy Byrne scored then. Get us back into it. And we were well on top. I thought we were going to push on, but then they scored again. We kind of left it too late. But in fairness, we were missing players that day, I think.
Yeah.
Dino was suspended, and Jordan Harmon and Keane Dowland were away as well. So, big players they missed.
Yeah, of course. How was the Oscar Traynor experience for you? From your point of view,
it was good. Yeah, I enjoyed it. Everyone get on with everyone in there. You know, you're playing against them every week, and it's different going and playing with them. Then it's nice playing with everyone on the team is really good as well. You know, so it's a higher standard than playing Carroll League as well. So I enjoyed it. Yeah, it was a good experience as well.
And how was it different to the last time you played? Because you were in the team back in 2019, the last team that was there. How was the experience different to back then?
I think the team is a bit stronger now, to be honest.
Yeah.
I think it was taken a bit more serious as well, you know, kind of way. I think that team was kind of just, could be wrong now, but I think it was just strung together, that last team. But we trained a good bit together with the Oscar Traynor this year, and the boys, Sir Gavin and Papa and Eddie and Fernsome had us going well. I thought we were just unlucky in the end against Waterford.
Yeah. And a word on Bagnall Town. It's been a fairly decent season for you guys. First season in the Premier, you caused a lot of team problems, especially down in Bagnall Town, where you're very difficult to beat. You had a good 5-match unbeaten streak towards the back end of last year into the start of this year. Did you guys ever think it would be such a great first season back?
Well, we kind of knew we had... Other teams probably didn't, but I kind of had an idea we'd be fairly... We'd be okay in the Premier, that we'd hold our own, which we have been doing. It's the only problem for us is... When we have lads suspended or injured, you know, we don't have a huge squad like some of the other clubs. So we kind of struggle if we're missing a few players and all that sort of way.
Yeah.
We've been unlucky with a few injuries and we've had a lot of suspensions, but we've held our own, in fairness to us.
Yeah.
I think we're fourth now, so we're doing all right.
Yeah, we're very proud of that. How do you build on that going into next season and try to be able to compete with that big three and break into that big three? Or will it take time?
It's going to be tough to compete with the likes of a New Oak or even Pats and Cret Yard, you know. But just the same what we've been doing. We won't change what we've been doing. We have a good squad there. When we have a full squad, we have a good squad there. I'd fancy us to challenge anyone on our day, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
On our day, we could beat anyone, I think, anyway.
Yeah.
And it's just about being consistent.
And I know this is obviously a Carlo soccer podcast, but you do play a bit of gar with Bagnall Town Gwales. How are you looking forward to the season?
Yeah, well, I've been back. I haven't done much now. I've done a few gym sessions with the club already, but I haven't been back on the pitch yet. I'm gonna wait until they finish the soccer because the body's a bit sore. Harry Knox, so I'm going to finish out the soccer first before I worry about that.
Yeah. You're hoping for a big season this year with the guys. You've shown potential a lot of the time, but you just haven't managed to push on.
Yeah, it's been like that for the last few years. There's definitely enough talent there. Even see with the likes of the lads, we have a few more lads in the county this year. So there's loads of talent and we're a young team. It's just about pushing on now. We should really be pushing on in the next few years, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thanks very much, Robbie, for joining me and being a guest here on the Carlo Soccer Podcast. An absolute legend, mate. Thank you.
Yeah, no bother. Cheers, Harry.
Thanks very much. That was Robbie Kane there, who played with the Leinster Amateur Squad over the weekend. And that is it, folks, for the first ever Carlo Soccer Podcast. Thank you so much for listening, if you did. Please make sure you like, share, repost, and help get the word out to promote the podcast. Tell your mates about it. Just share the word. Keep me in a job, folks. Keep me in a job. We'll be back next week, hopefully. Same place, same time. This isn't much your podcast as it is mine, guys. So I want to tackle the issues that are important to you, the listeners, within Carlo Soccer. So please do not hesitate to get in touch if you have anything you want me to cover, any guests you want me to get on, any ideas you have. Do not hesitate to message me. Message me on Twitter, Harry's Articles, or the Scoreline Sport Twitter page. The guys Shane and Robbie will see that and send it my way. Please do get in touch if you have anything you would like me to discuss, or approach me on a touchline on the weekend. I just want to say a couple of thank yous before we finish. First off, to Robbie on production. This was your brainchild. And I appreciate you thinking of me to head this up and get this off the ground. I also want to give a shout out to Casey Allard's very own Shane O'Keefe, who I messaged looking for advice, and he rang me and we had a great chat. He offered some great pointers, and as well to the man, the myth, the legend, Brendan Hennessy, who also took time out of his day to give me some advice. I appreciate both guys so much just for taking that time out to give me that little bit of advice with it being my first time doing something like this. So thank you very much to those guys. Thank you very much for listening, and we will be back next week, same place, same time.
The Carlo Soccer Podcast with Harry Shortos. Brought to you by KCLR and Scoreline.ie.